everyone, and welcome to another episode of Game Night on the Incomparable Game Show. I'm your host, Anthony Johnston, and once again, I return to play Quizmaster as I ask questions from the British 20th Anniversary Edition of Trivial Pursuit to a bunch of North Americans who've never heard of it. And because this triv is so old, the 20th Anniversary Edition itself is now almost 20 years old, so there is a double dose of not knowing what the hell is going on. Today's cuddly colonials are, in rough order of longitude, Brian Hamilton in Massachusetts. Hello, Brian.
Pip, pip.
Well done, well done. Scott McNulty in Pennsylvania.
I have articulated my lorry in preparation.
Very good. You've been listening to Pants in the Boot, haven't you?
Yes.
Or not. Moises Chuyan is in Texas.
You're not wrong, mate. It's the Yorkshire of the United States.
Oh, that's not bad, not bad.
I'm working on it, man.
Yeah. Sort of non-specific Yorkshire. Yeah.
non-specific fakey Yorkshire.
Yeah, we have Erica Ensign is in Alberta, Canada.
Greetings from the Dominion.
Ooh. And finally, Annette Weirstra is also in Alberta, Canada, but a little bit to the west.
Slightly. Hello, how are y'all doing? Like, that's probably Texas.
Wow.
I'm going to fail. I lost points right out the gate.
Yeah, Alberta, the Texas of the North.
It is the Texas of the North.
I've heard worse. That's about the best
I can say. That's a very British backhanded compliment.
Yeah. So welcome one, welcome all. The rules are very simple. Rather than using a board, we go straight to the question cards. And on their turn, each contestant rolls a six-sided die to determine the category of question I will ask them. If they answer correctly, they score 1 point and have another go, up to a maximum of 3 questions per turn. As soon as they get an answer wrong, their turn ends and play moves to the next person. And then at some point, when I run out of wine, we will declare a final round, at which point each contestant gets one final set of questions with no scoring limit. As long as they keep answering correctly, they can keep going. And at the end of that round, we will have a winner. So just a reminder that in this edition, the categories and their respective dice rolls are: 1 is Global View, 2 is Sound and Screen, 3 is News, 4 is The Written Word, 5 is Innovations, and 6 is Game Time. Sports, as always. So they do roughly map to the usual categories. I've no idea why they rename them. Why bother? They're the same categories.
Oh, Trivial Pursuit likes to rename things all the time.
It drives me batty.
You and me both.
So the first to go is our most easterly player, and just for once he actually is quite easterly. So Brian, we start with you.
Uh-oh.
Roll a dice, please. Oh yeah.
That's a 3. I can't roll R's. 3.
A 3, I think, is the sound you're looking
for.
Thank
you.
Show off.
So that is News, and we will have: what were withdrawn in 2002 because the numbers rubbed off?
The numbers rubbed off. They were withdrawn in 2002. What are bills, currency?
Do you know, I'm going to give you that. Yeah, the answer is £5 notes.
All right,
well,
awesome.
Done.
Notes.
Wow, that's... I'm astounded.
I am too.
I would have guessed that too, yeah.
First question. Wow, well done. All right, roll again.
That is a 1.
1. Oh, okay. So that is Global View. I suspect you, this one may not be quite so easy.
All right.
Which motorway, that's our equivalent of, you know, freeway, which motorway reaches a higher point than any other in England as it passes over Saddleworth Moor near Halifax?
Oh, Halifax. Of course I know Halifax. Let's. What was the delightfully British word you used for road?
Motorway.
Motorway, thank you. The Halifax Motorway, please.
No, our motorways are numbered.
Oh.
Is it like the M5 or something?
It's the M62.
Oh, my.
That's a lot of M's.
But, yeah, but unfortunately, that means that your turn is over.
Oh, no!
And so we move instead to Scott.
Oh, no!
Is the correct reaction.
I've got a 5.
5 innovations. All right. Scott, what is the Japanese word for partner, which was given to an artificial intelligence pet dog?
Oh, it's the Sony Aibo, I think.
Correct.
Mm. Excellent.
Ooh. Wow.
You found the one use for the Sony Aibo. Answering a trivia question.
It's cute. In a creepy way.
Roll again.
Oh, I forgot how this works. I was so excited I got it right. Six.
It's all right. So was I. Game time. Who was reigning Wimbledon champion when he was knocked out in the first round of 2003?
Well, I don't really know anything about tennis, so I know it's a man, and I can think of one male tennis player who is most assuredly not the answer, but I will say it anyway, Andre Agassi.
Very much not Andre Agassi.
No.
It was a man called Leighton Hewitt.
I never heard of Leighton Hewitt, but I'm sorry to hear of his defeat in 2003.
Yeah, not the best known tennis player in the world.
Should have arrived early, Hewitt.
Tough crowd.
Yeah, I had no points awarded.
All right, Moises, we're on to you.
I should pull up random.org. It rolls the dice for you. And I've rolled a three.
Three, that is news.
Uh-oh, that is not good news for me.
It never is. What was 32 Smith Square, London, being used as... So that's the address, 32 Smith Square, London. What was it being used as when it was offered for sale in 2003?
Well, let's see. Let's see if I can Liz Miles this.
oh boy.
What was it being used as? So I want to say that logically the best guess I can make is that it was being used as some form of a hotel. Because it seems like it's some sort of a notable address, and that's the thing that disused, well-known properties get converted into when they're not being used for their original purpose. So I'm going to go with some sort of hotel.
Your logic is absolutely solid, but your answer is completely wrong.
As usual,
it was, in fact, Conservative Party Central Office.
So a hotel.
But it was, yeah, good logic, good guess, wrong answer. Erica. Yeah.
Oh boy, let's see what the die
I can only blame my allergy to Tories.
Ooh, I got a six.
Six? Oh, game time, sports.
Mm-hmm.
Mm.
Is it going to be cricket? I know several cricket players by name now.
Ooh. Thanks to very old versions of a trivia game.
And my husband, who is obsessed with it.
It's not cricket, but perhaps it might as well be. Who became the first athletics world championship gold medal winner of Aboriginal descent when she won the 400 meters in 1997?
I have absolutely no idea, and I'm not going to insult whoever this person is by making up a guess. So please just tell me the answer.
I've never heard of this person either. It's somebody called Kathy Freeman.
Well, good for you, Kathy. Good on you.
Yep. Good.
Bravo,
for Kathy.
But, so proud of you.
Yeah. So proud that we had no idea who you were.
Yep.
Annette, on to you. Roll a dice, please.
Four.
Four, that is the written word.
Oh, I'm hopeful. Probably unwisely.
Yeah, don't be. Don't be
no,
hopeful.
I know. No, I'm not.
What Stephen King collaboration
was the first
work by a major author offered in MP3 CD format? Now, bear in mind, the technical competence of question writers in Trivial Pursuit is not exactly renowned. So that may not be entirely technically accurate, but they're saying offered in MP3 CD format.
So modern author-ish, considering it's 40 could be 40 years old. I don't know. I'm just going to go with Jeff.
Let me, you may have missed the first part. Let me emphasize, what Stephen King collaboration was the first work by a major author? So we know the author, yeah.
Oh.
Offered in as an MP3 or on a CD or whatever it was.
Okay.
Collaboration, that's an interesting word.
Mm-hmm. Okay, we'll just go with it.
No, it's something called The Talisman, apparently.
I would have got it right.
You would have.
I haven't heard that.
Was it on CD?
I never actually had the CD version, so I don't know if it was a regular CD or an MP3 CD. I just read the book. When I was reading all of the books that were remotely related to The Dark Tower, that and its sequel are two of them.
Wasn't King also the first author to do like a serialized thing, the way you paid, you know, like a dollar or whatever for each chapter online?
I'm not sure. I know The Green Mile was serialized. I don't know if it was serialized online.
I don't know whether it's Green Mile. Maybe I'm thinking of someone else. I could have sworn King was involved in something like that. Anyway, so that is the end of round one. And at the end of that round, Brian and Scott have one each.
Woohoo!
I have an imaginary point for knowing somebody else's question.
Right, yeah.
Because it may never happen again.
Erica has a ghost point.
Oh, this is very spooky. Ooh.
And then Moises and Annette, you have zero as well. But that was only the first round.
As with every interaction with the Tories, I have less than I came in with.
Ooh, topical, I assume.
Little bit of politics, wow.
Mm.
So on to round two. And Brian, we are back round to you.
All right. Gonna roll a die. I got a six.
Six. Game time. Oh, dear.
Oh, no.
Yeah, I'm afraid so. So, what did the runner who came in 32,875th in the 2002 London Marathon wear?
What did this person wear?
I'm going to guess, just as a sort of clue, that that's probably last place.
Yeah, that I figured.
That's basically a fancy way of saying last place. Yeah,
that's the traditional number for last.
I'm going with a tuxedo?
Something much more cumbersome.
Oh, no.
A giant chicken outfit?
A diving suit.
Diving suit.
Oh.
That would be difficult.
All right, Scott, we're over to you.
I've got a three.
A three, and that is news. Didn't you have news last time?
I had innovation.
Oh, no, that's right, yeah. Which TV and radio presenter appeared in the press with a topless Sophie Rees-Jones?
I don't know who Sophie Rees-Jones is.
I can only barely just about remember who she was.
She was topless, apparently, at one point in her life. I assume probably several points in her life, but...
Yeah, it'd be weird if that was the only point.
That would be noteworthy. I have no idea, and I can't think of any presenters, so I will say Sir David Attenborough.
My goodness, can you imagine?
Wow.
I love it.
Oh, my goodness. I'll never watch Blue Planet in the same way again.
That's why it's blue.
No, it was a guy... Okay, so this is a weird one. It was a guy who is... like literally nationally known over here. Everybody knows this guy, but I have no idea if he's known at all in the US. His name is Chris Tarrant.
Oh.
And he was the presenter, and I think co-creator possibly as well, of Who Wants to Be a Millionaire.
Yeah.
Mm, yeah. But obviously it has different hosts in every country.
I learned something new today.
And apparently a different dress code.
Oh.
In what way? Oh, sorry, you mean... No, I don't...
Oh, yes, the toplessness.
I don't think she was a contestant.
Well, you see, Anthony, the joke is about the question that you read.
Moises, moving swiftly on.
Rolling again at random.org. I rolled a one.
One global view. All right. Moises, what is the Thai name for Bangkok?
Oh, God.
No, it's not that.
Good guess.
It's one of those three word names that I can't remember. Krung Thep? Something.
Yes.
Something.
It is. It's Krung Thep.
Whoa!
Well done.
Wow.
Not English at all, trivia.
Wow.
Instead, Southeast Asian. All right. I have something else to thank my Thai boxing coach for.
Indeed. Well, I was thinking like, well, if he doesn't know it immediately, surely he's not going to guess it, but or dredge it up from memory, you know. All right. Well, give us another dice roll.
Oh, I get to
go
again.
Yeah, now you get another guess.
I'm not used to doing well at this. Okay.
Nobody is, don't worry.
I've rolled a six.
A six. Okay, so that is game time. Sports again.
Oh, good.
And yeah. What has CIS come to mean on the Olympic scoreboard?
CIS. Completion insubstantial? I don't know.
That's a good guess, but no, it's the Commonwealth of Independent States.
Oh.
I was going to say came in second. That was my guess.
Yeah, I should have come up with Commonwealth of Independent States because I used to make jokes about it. The very longest name to say a union.
Yeah, right, a bunch of different places.
Yeah, a union of a bunch of places.
All right, Erica, let's see if you get something that easy.
Oh boy, I got a two.
Two. Sound and screen, first one.
Boy.
First time we've heard about this game.
Yeah. This is one of those ones where it could either go really well or I could look really stupid because everybody else knows the answer.
Okay. Which Gloria Gaynor chart-topping feminist anthem and 21st century karaoke favorite was originally intended as a B-side?
I do not know anything about Gloria Gaynor, although her name sounds kind of familiar. This is totally one of those things where everybody else is going, I know that answer, and Erica does not. So I'm going to say it's Raining Men.
That was the Weather Girls, not Gloria Gaynor.
Yeah, see, I don't know.
It's I Will Survive.
Ah. As long as I know how to love, I'll
yep.
Gotcha.
Gloria Gaynor's big hit apparently was originally destined to be a B-side.
I didn't come here to answer questions correctly, so I am totally fine.
That's the right attitude for this game. Annette.
I could have answered that one, so now I'm totally going to get one I can't.
Of course, that's how it works.
Hey, but I get your ghost point.
I get a ghost point.
Yeah. Spooky point.
Maybe I should put ghost points on the spreadsheet.
I rolled a two.
Oh, so you got sound and screen as well. Mm. All right.
See how you like it.
What is the name of the children in need teddy bear?
Wow.
Do you know this one, Erica?
I do.
She just apparently we're getting each other's questions. I'm going to just say Bernard.
It's Pudsey Bear.
It is. It's Pudsey. Yeah.
Yeah, my guess would have been Gary the Bear.
Yeah, no, Pudsey Bear is the bear who's got a bandage over one eye that you see for the children in need telethon.
Aww. I've watched a lot of children in need coverage. Doctor Who has done a number of like little fun things. And then I watched an entire episode of Country File that was all children in need stuff. So lots of Pudsey Bear there.
Yeah, Curse of Fatal Death was a children in need thing, wasn't it? Yeah.
Worst kind of fatal death. Curse.
Pudsey? Pudsey Bear? P-U-D-S-Y?
S-E-Y.
S-E-Y.
Oh, they spell it right,
I thought,
Scott.
At first I thought you were saying Pudgy Bear, and I was like, that's not very polite to this bear. He already has an eye bandage. Don't give him any more trouble.
Anyway, I'm taking a second ghost point, so thank you.
Yeah, I should start tracking those.
Next round, can Eric and I just switch questions? Because Eric and I seem to be getting the wrong ones.
I feel like
it holds with English haunting tradition for there to be a winner and a phantom winner.
Yeah. Haunting the Trivial Pursuit mansion. All right, so at the end of round two, Brian and Scott still have one each. Moises now has one as well. Erica and Annette still have zero. So, Brian, we're back round to you for round three.
All right, round three, I'm going to roll the die and get a two.
Also sound and screen, hello, we're on a roll now. Who was voted the world's best guitarist ever in a 2003 Trivial Pursuit, you're so crap. In a 2003 Rolling Stones magazine poll. It's not, it's Rolling Stone. They can't even get the name of the magazine.
John Mayer.
It's John Mayer. All right, I have options here.
It's John Mayer.
All right.
2003, just think, 2003. It's definitely John Mayer.
I have two that I think it may be, and I'm going to go with the one that I think is more likely, and then I want to give you the second one if this is wrong. Jimi Hendrix.
It is Jimi Hendrix.
Yes!
Yeah. It's always Jimi Hendrix.
Of course.
It doesn't matter what year it is. It's always Jimi Hendrix.
If it isn't Jimi Hendrix, someone should be shackled. Someone should be put in jail.
Yeah.
My next guess was David Gilmour.
Oh, no, that's way too... No, for Rolling Stone, no, good Lord. You're more likely for them to vote for, like, Eric Clapton or something, aren't they?
Hey, I get to roll again.
You do.
Six. Every time I do a, like, dice-style Trivial Pursuit game, I get very excited. I got a critical six. Wait, that's not how this game works. Dang it.
No, it is not. So your question is, what did Keith Brown fail to start twice?
The fire, because it was always burning since the world was turning. This is sports, correct?
It is, yes.
All right.
Wow, this is UK trivia, Brian. Have some sensitivity to the London fires of...
Yes.
Yes, the London fire of almost 400 years ago. Yeah.
Exactly, yes.
So somebody failed to start twice, yes? Can you read the question again?
What did Keith Brown fail to start twice?
Fail to start in the sports. What can you start in sports? My guess is, his car for NASCAR? I don't know. What do you start?
That's not a bad guess, but no, the answer is the Grand National, which is a massive horse race that we have in this country. It's like the biggest horse racing event of the year.
Couldn't get his horse to turn over?
Yeah.
But what does couldn't start mean in the context of horses?
Well, it says failed to start. So I'm assuming that the horse just wouldn't leave the leave the gate.
Yeah,
wow.
it happens where the gates open and the horse just doesn't go anywhere. And it just happens.
Refuses, yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
Ah, well, I feel very bad for you and your horse, Mr. Start Person.
Of course, that's assuming that he is a jockey. I don't know for sure that this man's a jockey. He could actually be the official in charge of, like, you know, opening the gates or something. I have no idea. Scott, we're on to you.
Believe it or not, I have rolled a two.
Not! No, I do believe you.
UK trivia, where none of us know any of it.
Scott.
That is not a good sign.
That's a very bad sign for you, Scott.
Oh, man.
Oh, I'm so sorry, Scott. What was the quiz if someone asked, can I have a pee, please, Bob?
What? I understand those words separately. I do not understand that sequence of those words, to be honest.
Yep. And this is made, literally every English person listening to this now is screaming the answer. Doubly hilarious because, of course, over here, pee... Well, no, it is in the States as well. Yeah, it's slang for, you know, going to the toilet.
Read that to me one more time for my befuddlement.
So I'll ask it again. What was the quiz if someone asked, can I have a pee, please, Bob?
What was the quiz?
I don't understand this question, so I have no answer. I don't know.
So the name of the quiz is Blockbusters. It was hosted by a guy called Bob Holness, who became an unlikely icon to school children everywhere, despite the fact that when he was presenting it, he was already, I think, in his 50s. It was basically a sort of scheduled for after school program for kids. It was like all the contestants were high school students. And it was just a trivia game like this where you ask questions, but the board that you played them on had each square or hexagon, to be specific, actually had a letter. And so you would name the letter that you wanted to answer. And if you got it right, you turned that hexagon, you know, the color of your team. And so whenever it came to the letter P. There was much hilarity in the studio and in, you know, front rooms up and down the country when one of the contestants would say, "Can I have a P, please, Bob?" And everybody would titter.
It all makes
Coming
sense.
Soon to the incomparable game show, Blockbusters and Urination Jokes.
Honestly, Blockbusters was, if you ever, you should look it up on YouTube. The format of it is genius because it's two versus one. And it's a really brilliantly sort of, you look at it and the mechanics of it are really, really well worked out. But unfortunately, it kind of lived and died by the host. And so, you know, and Bob Holness passed away some time ago now. I think they have tried to revive it in one-off for charity and stuff, and it just never works because you need a really, really good host to sort of keep the quiz going. But yeah, beloved of a certain generation, i.e. my generation of children. But not by Scott. Sorry about that.
Children who loved hexagonal board game format game shows.
All right, Moises, we're on to you.
Okay. I was going to ask if I can have a pee. One.
One? Oh, global view.
Again.
And your question is, which way do tornadoes spin in the northern hemisphere?
They spin counterclockwise.
See, on the card it says anticlockwise. No, of course, I'll give it to you.
How dare you? How dare you tell someone who grew up in Tornado Alley in Texas?
I was thinking that, like, yeah, isn't that where you live?
Yes, it is. I live in the belt buckle of the Bible Belt, which is also the center of Tornado Alley. Yeah.
All right, so you get to go again.
It's, three.
Three, that is news. Okay.
Oh, boy.
It's them again. What were their 9.2% of in the 1992 Tory government that Labour raised to 18.2% in 1997?
Again, please?
It's a really torturously... Yeah.
It's...
So... What were their 9.2% of in the 1992 Tory government that Labour raised to 18.2% in 1997?
Mm-hmm. Can I just...
You cannot phone a friend. You're already phoning several of your friends. You can't phone anymore.
They had not... Okay, in the Tory government of 92, it was 9.2%. And the Labour government...
9.2% of this, yeah.
And unemployment? Then 5 years later, unemployment? Unemployment. That's the only thing I can think of.
Well, it's not a bad guess, but, I mean, the idea that Labour would, you know, would suddenly raise it overnight by 9% is improbable.
And that's exactly why it's a terrible guess, but, you know.
No, the answer is women MPs.
Well, good. Ah. Good.
Hmm. Less than 10% in the 92 Tory government, but almost 20% when Labour got in.
What a shock. It's not like we saw anything like that in 2018 in the United States. But,
Indeed. Erica.
I rolled a 3.
3. Oh, news again.
Bad news.
What fruit? Okay. It's always a good start to a question, isn't it?
Fruits in the news.
What fruit did criminals most cut? This gets better with every word.
Wow.
Maybe we'll let you get a few more out.
Yeah. What fruit did criminals most commonly use as a pretend weapon, according to an Oxford University report?
Oh, God. I definitely know this.
I am going to go with the classic, which is a banana. Please tell me that's correct.
It is correct.
Yay!
I'm sorry, he was looking for banana.
Banana. I almost banana. Said it that way. And I thought that might be insulting, so I did not.
Yeah, no, it is a banana.
A banana in one's pocket.
All right. Well, this time I got a 5.
5, and that is innovations.
I want that same question. I feel like that's pretty innovative.
What were, this is not very English, what were first introduced during the building of the Hoover Dam in 1933 that are now compulsory on most building sites, construction sites?
What were first introduced?
Yes, during the building of the Hoover Dam in 1933, and they are now compulsory on most construction sites.
Bananas.
The answer is bananas.
Hard hats?
Correct.
Ooh. I was just going to guess safety yeah. regulations.
Safety no. something.
I decided to go a little more specific. All right. I got a 6.
Erica going for that sweep. Game time. All right.
Yeah, with a 6, though. Not a...
Yeah, well, you know, you can't have everything.
Nope.
Where would you put it? My favorite Stephen Wright joke. Which 1997 FA Cup final squad?
I don't even know what the FA Cup is for.
It's soccer. I'll give you that one. It's soccer.
Oh, okay.
Which 1997 FA Cup final squad began the game with 4 Italians, 2 Brazilians, and 3 other assorted foreigners?
Whoa. Five bananas.
Oh, God bless the question writers.
Assorted foreigners, dear God.
I said, Nigel, where are they from? I don't care, just put foreigners. I mean, do any of us really care? Just put foreigners.
Tottenham.
That's a really good guess. It's not right, but that's a really good guess. It's actually Chelsea.
Yeah.
Who are another London team. So you really were quite close. But
Yay, close.
I'm
going to
give you half a ghost point for that, Erica.
Hurrah.
Scott, what is our ghost point tally? Scott is our shadow quiz master.
Are some and they exist.
In the tradition of shadow ministers, Scott is shadow quiz master.
Annette, we're on to you.
Okay.
After a storming round from Erica, wow. First person to score 2 points in a single round.
Ooh. 2 again.
A 2. Oh, sound and screen again, right.
Mm-hmm.
Which Bond movie was a remake of Thunderball?
I don't watch Bond movies. Everyone's going to be really mad at me.
I won't. I also have no idea.
I'm not mad at you. I'm just jealous.
We're not mad. We're just disappointed.
Oh, I'm just going to go... Yeah. Casino Royale. It's probably not it, but...
You're correct. It's not it.
Anybody else want to get it?
Never Say Never Again.
Yeah, that is correct.
Ghost points.
It was the one where Connery came after Connery left and then was persuaded to come back and do a one-off Bond, and basically this remade Thunderball with a different name, which... Huh. Was weird because Thunderball, I mean, it's okay, but it's not like it's the best Bond movie, but you know, whatever. So at the end of round 3, Brian, Moises, and Erica all have 2 points.
Wow.
For the joint lead. Scott still has 1, and Annette is yet to score.
Totally on target.
Stay on target. Brian, back round to you for round 4.
I rolled a 1.
One global view. Ooh, that's an interesting one. Which is the flattest continent?
Huh.
Wow.
Topographically, or like the border, or
what? No,
I don't think a border is flat.
The border.
So topographically, right?
I think you're overcomplicating things.
Topographically.
Topographically.
Which has the least soda pop?
Antarctica seems pretty.
Which one's border has the most straight lines? Yeah.
Oh, God. Oh, I'm angry that this is my question. There's so much more critical thought to this. I can't think of any Australian mountains, so I'm going with Australia.
And you are correct.
Whoa!
Nice.
Heck yeah. Screw you, Australian mountains.
Well, out of curiosity, does the game call it Australia or Oceania?
No, the game calls it Australia because it's English.
As it should be, mate.
Assorted foreigners.
Assorted foreigners.
That's us, really.
I got 3.
A 3 news. Okay. They're obsessed. Which Prime Minister's son did former topless model Emma Noble claim had made their marriage a sham?
Wow.
I'll read that one again. Which Prime Minister's son, so it's the Prime Minister we're looking for. Which Prime Minister's son did former topless model Emma Noble claim had made their marriage a sham?
Are these writers like 12-year-old boys? Like, what's going on?
No, I know.
Hey, family, it's time for some fun, family clean fun time. Topless women, what? Okay, I'm going with, so this 20 years ago, I don't know a single thing about prime ministers. I'm going with Thatcher?
It was the one after, John Major.
John Major.
Apparently. Mm. I have no memory of this incident whatsoever. If it made the news, I didn't pay it any attention at the time. Scott, we're on to you.
Oh no, you're on to me. I have to leave. I have rolled a 3.
A 3, and that is news again.
Mm. Well, it was fun while it lasted.
Okay, what did Marcus Sargent do in the mall?
Mm-hmm.
I'll read it out and then I'll explain. What did Marcus Sargent do in the mall mm-hmm. to find himself charged under the 1842 Treason Act?
Hmm. I think it's more fun when you don't explain it.
just leave it in its native language of English for us North Americans.
Let's be assured I have no idea what the answer is and listen to Anthony explain.
Well, what I was going to explain was that I said mall. It's actually pronounced mal, but it's spelt like mall, and it's not a shopping mall. The mall is the road that leads from the gate off Trafalgar Square down to Buckingham Palace.
Oh, so like the mall in Washington, D.C.
Right, right. When you see like royal processions with all the, you know, horse-drawn carriages and stuff, they're often going down the mall.
Ah, well, that makes it much easier for me to not know this answer.
Well, I thought it might make it easier for you to guess.
I will assume it involves nudity.
Because everything else seems to.
I mean, it's not a bad guess, but no, no. I mean, bear in mind, it's the Treason Act that he was charged under. So, you know.
Well, British people are a little uptight.
He waved a topless woman at the Queen.
Yeah. No, what he did was he fired blanks at the Queen.
Oh, well, that's not nice.
Well, that's decidedly less hilarious than what we had come up with.
Yep. Exactly, yeah. That's quite serious.
Don't do that, kids.
All right. Yeah, no, absolutely do not. Moises, we're on to you.
I have rolled 5.
Innovations. Moises, what is the better known name of the AR-18 automatic rifle?
The AR-18 automatic rifle.
Yes.
Well, as someone who knows a lot about firearms,
you do live in Texas.
I do live in Texas, home of the bump stock and all kinds of other horrible stuff. AR-18 automatic rifle, did you say?
Yes, that is correct.
Is that the Uzi?
No, good guess, but no, that is the Armalite.
Ah,
never
yes.
Not better
it.
Known
yes.
enough, apparently.
The good old Armalite. I have an extra one in my cupboard.
Maybe it's only better known here in the UK.
You don't have guns there. What are you talking about?
Yeah.
We have an army. The army do carry guns. They don't just go around, you know, using harsh language. Erica, your go.
I rolled a 4.
4, the written word.
Yep, now I'm nervous.
Been a while since we had one of those.
Ooh.
Mm. All right, so which screen adaptation of a Jane Austen novel?
Oh, man, I knew this was going to be something that Annette was going to know, and I wouldn't.
I'm really mad right now.
Okay, I'm sorry. I was just very...
Jane Austen. Okay,
I was
Jane
upset
Austen.
On both of our behalves, so please finish the question, Anthony.
Which screen adaptation of a Jane Austen novel brought a Golden Globe Award to Emma Thompson?
Oh, my God.
Sense and Sensibility?
Yes, correct.
I was going to be really mad at you if you got that wrong.
See, this is our friendship on the line here.
I know.
It's getting real.
Emma Thompson, the real queen.
I feel like I just dodged a very British bullet.
Ooh.
Indeed. A very British bullet was her next movie, I think.
Well, I rolled a one.
A one. That is Global View.
Yeah.
What? Sorry, which? Which is London's largest elliptical concert hall? It's very specific.
That's why. Wow. I had to giggle.
I don't know that I know any of London's concert halls.
I say, Gertrude, where should we go for a show this evening? An elliptical place, Charles. An elliptical one.
Albert Hall? Those words sound like they could go together. Is that elliptical?
Full of stationary bikes for some reason.
I'll give you that. It's the Royal Albert Hall, and that is the right answer.
Oh, my goodness.
Whoa!
Erica. Hooray!
Killing it.
Yeah. I must say, I think probably most British people, that's the only concert hall that they could actually
yeah,
name.
I'm furious that the only concert hall I could actually name is the one that you just grasped for.
Yeah, it's the same one as everyone else, yeah.
Famous for being elliptical.
I'm fine with it.
So, well, I actually didn't know it was elliptical. I thought it was round.
I only knew it because I think they did like an anniversary concert thing for Les Miserables and one for Phantom of the Opera that they filmed both of there, and that's the only reason, because while I was watching it, I went, this is a very oddly shaped concert hall.
Yeah, well, like I say, I just thought it was round, because I mean, the Royal Albert Hall is on TV all the time. All the BBC proms are held there. I've got a video of like the Sisters of Mercy last ever concert. Of the first incarnation of the band, like, was at the Royal Albert Hall. So I've seen this place a lot on film, and I thought it was round. I had no idea it was elliptical.
Maybe you should adjust your TV set, Ant.
Trick of the camera. Now, for all her protestations, Erica is now in the lead.
Oh, boy.
Like, screaming in the lead.
Yeah. So what did you just roll?
A three. Bad news.
Three again. Okay.
Someday, maybe I'll get a sweep. This probably isn't that day.
Oh, good lord.
Uh-oh.
Probably not a sweep, Erica. I don't know.
This could go one of two ways based on that reaction.
Yep. Yeah, no, I'm... who said of his claim to have sex for 8 hours, he said, what I didn't say was that this includes 4 hours of begging, dinner, and a movie.
A sting.
That is correct.
Oh, that one, oh I just flat out well. Knew.
A sweep for Erica. Wow.
Terry, I'm all out of topless women questions, Terry. What should I do now? I don't know, Nigel. Maybe about Sting. Maybe Sting having sex.
Wow. Erica, well done. A sweep.
Thank you.
Putting you firmly in the lead.
Very excited.
Good lord, yeah. Annette, we're on to you. Beat that.
Firmly not in the lead.
Wow, rude. Rude, Anthony. Uncharacteristically rude.
Just give me some Midsummer Murder, some Jane Austen. Come on. But I got a two.
A two. Oh, it's sound and screen, so.
Oh.
Okay.
Which TV show's Mrs. Doyle encouraged guests to take tea and sandwiches with the phrase, ah, go on, go on, go on?
I feel like that's my mother-in-law. I'm just going to say Fawlty Towers.
It was Father Ted.
Yeah, I wouldn't have gotten that one.
Great. Yeah. Great, a Graham Linehan question. Lovely.
Well, yeah.
You know. Thrilled. Yeah.
So at the end of round four, Erica is firmly in the lead with 5 points.
Wow.
Brian has 3. Moises has 2. Scott has 1. Annette has none.
No. Oh.
I feel like I want to give one of my points to Annette, like the Jane Austen one.
You're a good friend. Pity points.
That's not how it works.
Shadow Quizmaster Scott, how many phantom points does she have?
I have 1 phantom point. Oh, no, 2.
I only deal in ghost points. Thank you very much. Phantom right. points are a completely different points. Department.
All right, Brian. We have come round to you again to kick us off around 5.
Oh, God, it's a 3.
It's the news again.
Boop-a-doop, boop-a-doop, boop-a-doop.
There's a lot of it about.
Do-do-do-do, do-do-do. Welcome to the Incomparable Game Show News. I'm Brian Hamilton, and here with tonight's top stories is Anthony Johnston.
And tonight's top story is, what did the British Museum deny it was giving back to Greece in 2003.
Oh, the Rosetta Stone, right?
Do you want to take a little more time to think?
Yes.
wait a second.
Oh. You're such a nice quiz master.
The Greek edition of Rosetta Stone, the software.
Well, okay, no, there. Oh, what was it? What was it? It was a big controversy.
Well, he sounded so confident, bless him, and then, you know, got the wrong one. So
just... oh, I was going to say, just because he's giving you more time doesn't mean you're wrong, Brian. But
is that your final answer? Oh, God.
But I am going to have to rush you, given that I've effectively given you a reprieve.
David.
Sure.
Just a bloke named David. Not any particular other thing.
That's not my name. And if you mean the Statue of David, I believe that's in Paris, not London.
You know, I know nothing about fine art. I only know podcasts.
Yes, that would cause many international conflicts.
It's in Florence.
Oh, okay. Sorry, I thought it was in the Louvre. Thinking of someone else.
You were kind enough to give me two answers. I got them both incorrect. What was the correct answer, Anthony?
Parthenon.
The correct answer was the Parthenon marbles. Yeah, the Elgin marbles.
Ah.
I got another ghost point.
Yay.
Ooh. Annette is massacring
I'm
us
like
in the Phantom
so
Zone.
I'm so good at ghost
That's
points.
An ancient ghost point.
Oh my God, Anthony, I thought that my Skype had cut out. It was dead silent for a good 5 seconds.
I thought I'd lost the connection too, and I went, oh no, I don't get to hear. Oh no, the silence is what I'm hearing.
Oh no, I knew what was happening.
Scott, please move us on.
Well, I cannot promise that, but I got a one.
All right, and that is Global View. What is Roosevelt's Mount Rushmore portrait wearing that the other three are not?
Glasses.
Correct.
Excellent. I was very tempted to say pants, but I wanted to get it right, so I did not.
Roll again.
Six.
The dreaded sports.
I know, I was having such a good time.
What went out when an athlete fell off his bike in Washington State in 1996?
What went out? I don't understand how these things are related. What went out? 1996, you say?
1996. What went out when an athlete fell off his bike in Washington State?
The power?
That's a good guess, but the answer is the Olympic flame.
Oh, well, that makes sense.
I was going to say, like, his back?
Yeah. You drop a flaming torch.
Moises, we're on to you.
I've rolled a one.
Global View.
Oh, good.
Which bridge over the Thames has the shortest name?
Bob. It's Bob.
Not which is the shortest bridge, but which bridge has the shortest name?
Your bridges have names over there, do they?
Yes. For example, Westminster Bridge.
Yeah,
I can tell you that one because it's clearly not that.
Yeah, I.
Or is it
Tower Bridge?
That's a good guess, but no, there is one even shorter, and that is
Steve Bridge.
No, that would be the same length. No, it's Kew Bridge, as in Kew Gardens, K-E-W.
Huh.
Wow.
If it's any consolation, I wouldn't have got that. I completely forgot that there was a Kew Bridge.
I'm going to have to learn more than two bridge names.
It's also elliptical.
And now I'm going to have to, my first time in London, I'll have to seek that bridge out just to make peace with it.
Curse it.
Yeah, I don't even know where it is.
It's across the Thames.
By Kew Gardens?
Well, that's what I say. I assume it's down by the gardens, but I don't know. I didn't actually know there was a bridge called Kew. And I was down in London just the other week. Erica, we've moved on to you.
I rolled a one.
Global View again.
Mm-hmm.
Erica, how many stories high is the Pentagon?
Oh, my God. I've been in the Pentagon. I don't know.
Whoa. Erica, are we going to like mess up your security?
Are you
clearance?
Allowed to tell us that?
Oh, no.
It was on a it was on a tour. We didn't get to go to too many. Okay. Right. Like,
yeah, that's what they say now. Yeah.
No, I really have a picture of me standing in front of, like, you know, the blue curtain at the Pentagon podium.
Oh, I'm sure you do. You know, deep legend. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And the tour guide probably told you how many stories the building is.
Yeah, this was like high school, so I don't really remember. I'm going to say 2.
No, quite a few more. It's 5.
Is it 5? Oh, of course it would be. Mm. Yeah. Mm.
They're really into their theme at the Pentagon.
Yeah, I should have gone with that.
I've got bad news. You've lost your level 5 clearance.
Rats. Or maybe I did that on purpose to make you think I just don't know anything.
Double agent.
That's next level thinking.
Annette.
Okay. 1.
Also Global View. Wow, there's a lot of that about.
Mm-hmm.
What is Silbury Hill in Wiltshire, Europe's largest example of?
Wow. A battle. I'm just going to, like, I have no idea. I'm going to guess battlefield.
No, it's a man-made hill. It's a man-made hill, and it is quite large.
I think I have a picture. I think I have a postcard of it on my refrigerator. I'll point it out next time you're over.
I was like, and you didn't show it to me?
You didn't say, look at this giant man-made hill.
Remember that for trivia.
It may come in useful.
Is the tea done steeping yet?
Right, so on that round, Scott was the only person to score.
Woo!
So Erica is still in the lead with 5. Brian still has 3, but Scott now and Moises both now have 2, and Annette is yet to get off the board.
Holding strong.
Let's do one more regular round, and then maybe we'll go to the final round. So, Brian, please kick us off.
All right, that's a 4.
And that is the written word, of course.
Lovely.
What a bizarre question.
As opposed to all the normal questions.
What is the... true, yeah. What is the plural of cupful? As in a cupful of something.
Oh, God. It's either cupsful or cupfuls. No, it's cupsful, right?
It is.
Yes!
Well done.
Ooh, yeah. iPads Pro.
Attorneys General, exactly, yes.
Culls de sac.
No.
No, I think that's legit.
Wow.
All
right, roll again.
All right. That's a... that's a 6.
Fear the excitement diminish.
Oh, yeah, I get to roll a die. Oh.
That's a 6. What... what was Ireland's official drink for the 1994 World Cup?
Ireland's official drink. Let me think. Yeah. It is either Guinness or Scotch. You know what? If it's for football, as it were, I'm going with Guinness.
It is indeed. Guinness.
Whoa! Yeah, I mean,
like, really, that question could have just said, what was Ireland's official drink? Really. word of advice, do not ever call Irish whiskey Scotch.
Oh, God. That oh, no. I screwed
not a good
up.
Idea.
What was, yeah. It's actually a capital offense, Brian.
That's right. Brian, I've taken away all your ghost points.
Wait, what's the proper term? There's one that's only made in... Oh, wait, no, that's Scotland. Crap.
Scotland. There,
yes, okay. Exactly.
Never mind.
Well, wait, well, I have a word with you.
The Irish do make whiskey. That's the whiskey. When you get whiskey with an E, that's
only
Irish
the Scots
whiskey.
Make sure.
Oh, okay. Did I just star in international kerfuffle?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, no.
No longer permitted to Ireland or Scotland.
It's all right. I'm just going to hit you in your head.
But you did get a point, and you are now jointly leading with Erica, so...
Ooh.
Roll again and see if you can get a sweep.
All right, that's a 2.
2, and that is sound and screen. Who, shortly after his death in 2001, became the first solo artist to top the chart twice with the same single?
Okay. So someone died in 2001 and charted again with what I'm guessing was a popular single from earlier than 2001, but it rose back up. Who died in 2001?
Quite a few people.
Quite a few people. Oh, God. Solo artist.
Yep, first solo artist to top the charts twice with the same single.
Does it specify in the UK or US or?
It doesn't specify, but I'm going to guess that they mean in the UK.
In the UK, all right.
Generally in this, if they mean a chart other than the UK, they'll be specific.
Exactly.
You know, say the US chart or something.
Exactly. Oh, no. I'm probably going to piss some people off with this guess, which is the only... So the reason I'm going to guess this, I have no idea if he's alive or dead, probably still alive, is because the only other thing I knew about, like, UK music trivia was already guessed in a previous episode. I'm like, damn it, I knew that one. I wish I had gotten that when I was on. So I'm going to guess because I was not on the episode when Angels was discussed. Robbie Williams.
Okay, Robbie Williams is not dead.
Okay, good.
Robbie Williams is not dead.
Okay, good. Great.
That doesn't mean you're wrong, though.
He is living in LA, so, you know. But no, he's not dead.
Okay.
No, it was George Harrison.
George Harrison. Oh, okay. Yeah, that makes sense.
Yep. I don't actually know what the song was. I'm going to guess it was While My Guitar Gently Weeps, but I'm not actually sure.
I think you're right.
I guess, but like...
It's like, what else could it be, really?
You know? Yeah, the mournful one.
It's probably not I Got My Mind Set on You.
Yeah.
It's a good song, though.
Oh, my God. I hope it was. That would be so amazing if it was.
I mean, could have been.
It's a good song.
It
Scott.
Is. Very catchy.
I rolled a one.
We're over to you. One. Another globe of you. Good Lord, have you all got loaded dice or something? Like anti-loaded. Yeah.
I feel like there are no good rolls in this game.
Here's the thing, mate. I phoned up random.org. They got me the good dice today.
Scott, how many of the world's mountains are more than 30,000 feet tall?
Well, this feels like a trick question. But I don't know which way the trick is. I'm going to say none.
And you are correct.
Ha ha.
Wow.
Take that, Trivial Pursuit writers.
Well done. What would be the other, you said in two, what would be the other one? Like all of them?
Like, that's why I ruled that one out quickly, Anthony. You see, that's why I'm a clever Trivial Pursuit gamer.
Well done.
I got a 3.
News again. Well, a lot of that around as well. What was being celebrated when the Empire State Building was illuminated in purple and gold on the 4th of June, 2002?
4th of June, 2002, purple and gold. Purple and gold. Interesting.
It wasn't a slightly early celebration of my birthday. I will give you that for free.
Oh, thank you for the hint.
And it wasn't in memory of Prince because he was alive.
Oh, boy. Purple and gold. Well, in 2002, I was living in New York. That does not help because I have no idea. So I can't even think of what purple and gold signifies. I will say something to do with the Olympics. I don't know. I got nothing.
That's a pretty good guess. I have no idea why they chose purple and gold for this. It was the Queen's Golden Jubilee.
That was going to be my guess. Yes, I get another ghost point.
I mean, purple for imperial purple, I guess. Maybe. Mm-hmm. You know, and gold because it was the Golden Jubilee, but yeah.
Oh.
What a bizarre one.
That's,
well.
That's weird for a no longer colony to do that, but okay.
It is a bit, isn't it? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. We're still on friendly terms. For now.
Yeah, I don't know about that queen.
Moises, please roll your dice or click your random.org button.
Randoming my .org. 4.
And the written word. Who wrote Living History and has the middle name Rodham?
Okay. I knew getting into this trivia game, I'd be working with some really difficult stuff. Okay, the book is called Living History. Their middle name is Rodham, not their original last name before they got married. It's their middle name. Okay.
Don't build up your part.
Yeah, Hillary Rodham Clinton.
who was popularly elected president of the United States, and only because of a terrible, terrible, terrible thing called the Electoral College did the will of the people get subverted, and we got stuck with a totalitarian dictator. What was the question?
Well, remember, this game is 20 years old, so at the time she was only known, really, over here anyway, only known as, you know, Bill Clinton's wife.
Yeah, okay.
So most people probably wouldn't have got that over here. But yeah, in modern context. Yeah,
Hillary, kind of middle name Rodham Clinton.
Yeah. So roll again.
Oh, again, I'm not used to this. Five.
Yeah, five. Innovations. All right. What did Wilbert Gore introduce to the clothing industry in 1989?
1989. Well, it wasn't zippers. It wasn't Velcro. I have to ask a point of information. How is his surname spelled?
Gore, G-O-R-E.
Gore-Tex.
Correct. It is indeed Gore-Tex. The clue was literally in the question.
I was thinking to myself, this has to be simpler than this. I have rolled a three.
Three, and that is our news again. We should just ban this category.
Why? Is it somebody topless again?
No, but I mean, just because it keeps coming up. Right. What did a 2002 World Health Organization report claim was the commonest cause of death for people traveling abroad? That's obviously abroad from the UK. Actually, no, it's a World Health Organization report, so it may not be. It just may just be for people traveling abroad in general, I guess.
People traveling abroad just in general, like from their home country?
I think so, yeah, because it's a World Health Organization report.
Oh, then I'd say so health disease. Heart disease. The joke answer that I wanted to give was being struck on the head by a coconut, which kills more people on vacation than people would assume. But I would assume heart disease.
No. No, the answer is actually road accidents.
I suppose driving in another country where you don't know the laws.
That makes sense.
How depressing is that? Hmm. Well, and also just the sheer amount of road accidents that there are in every country around the world every day.
Oh,
anyway.
Yeah.
You know, some of those people are probably tourists.
That's true. Driving into coconuts.
Chris Rea's less well-received third album.
I don't know the artist, but it's still funny.
Don't worry, the British people will get that. Erica.
I roll a two.
Two, sound and screen. All right. What is the name of Sooty's girlfriend?
What?
You heard the question,
Can
Erica.
You spell Sooty?
I can. Sooty. I will give you the clue that Sooty is a hand puppet star of a children's show.
So it's probably not Smutty then. Let's go with Sooty and Slinky.
It's not a bad guess, but no, the answer is Sue, S-O-O. The show is Sooty and Sweep. Sooty is a bear. Sweep is, I'm trying to think now, is he a dog, maybe? And Sue is a female bear.
Well, I did not know that, and I hope I never have to see what they look like, because puppetry scares the crap out of me.
Wait, no, they're actually really cute.
Oh, yeah, no, they are really cute.
Yeah, your idea of cute and mine is different. Puppets,
oh,
man.
Come
puppets.
On.
Whoa. Yeah.
Wow.
I don't like puppets.
All right. Moving swiftly on then to Annette.
Oh, awesome. I got six. I'm totally going to nail it.
Hell yeah. Game time. All right. What was Hurricane Higgins's main offense to warrant a 1987 £12,000 fine and 5 tournament ban? Do you know who Hurricane Higgins
is? No, I do not. I do not even know what sport it is.
Okay, I will give you the clue that it was snooker.
Snooker.
That'll help.
Have you heard of a fellow called Steve Davis?
No. I'm not very good at sportsing.
Okay. Hurricane Higgins and Steve Davis were kind of the great rivals of snooker during the 1980s.
Okay. Did snooker's like pool, right?
No.
I don't even know what yes. snooker is.
to you, perhaps, yes. Okay. But no, it's really.
So he took his like pool, do you call it that long pool cue thing, and smacked it over someone's head?
Oh, you're killing me. Oh, you're so close. I almost want to give it to you just to get you on the board.
Pity points.
You have the power.
He famously, he headbutted the referee.
Oh. Which wow. is not even yeah. really remotely the
is
same.
Is that how you play snooker?
No, it's
maybe
not.
It is. What do we know?
It's how he played snooker.
Oh.
He, towards the end of his career, was completely out of control. He used to turn up for matches drunk, and yeah, that was a pretty famous incident. But obviously, only if you were around in the 1980s and cared about snooker.
I was around in the 80s. I didn't care about snooker.
Didn't care about snooker, no. So at the end of that round,
we still have... holding hard on my zero.
Brian and Erica are in the joint lead with 5 points each. Moises has 4. Scott has 3. Annette has 0. So we'll go in sort of the same order as we've been doing for the two winners. First, we'll go to Brian.
All right.
And see what kind of score you can rack up for other people to try and beat.
All right. That's a 4.
4. And that is the written word. So... which actress won damages from her publisher after it claimed manuscripts for her two books were so badly written they were unpublishable?
So the author complained to her publisher that things that were written like for her were unpublishable?
No. This is actually a case. This isn't ghostwriter. This is actually a case where an actress wrote two books and the publisher refused to publish them because they were so badly written.
Oh, I took it and turned it. Okay. What actress would...
And she sued them and won.
Oh my God. What actress would have written books? Emma Thompson?
The only thing... I mean, that's not a bad guess, except for the fact that Emma Thompson... I'm pretty confident would actually write a really good book.
I know, right? She looks authorly.
She has written books, hasn't she?
Oh, has she? It wouldn't surprise me in the slightest, yeah. No, the answer is Joan Collins.
Huh.
Oh.
Because remember, her sister, Jackie Collins, is a very successful novelist. So I'm guessing, I don't know this, but I'm guessing that she wanted to sort of cash in on a bit of that, you know, Collins literary fame, but found out that she couldn't write.
Allegedly.
Wow.
Allegedly.
And legally.
Yes. Well, although, you know, clearly she still won damages from a publisher, so I'm guessing that she basically sued them over a breach of contract or something.
That's one way to make a buck.
Right. So, Erica, we'll go to you as the other highest scorer. See if you can rack up any more points.
Well, let's see with my 4.
And that is the written word again.
Oh, boy.
So, which Disney movie was slammed as commercial plundering by Victor Hugo's family?
The Hunchback of Notre Dame?
Correct, yes.
I actually think I saw that.
What other movie would they care about? It's not going to be Cinderella, is it?
I mean, maybe Victor Hugo had some his family had some strong feelings about Cinderella. I don't know.
About Snow White, yeah.
I rolled a 3.
I must complain in the strongest possible terms about Finding Nemo. Sorry, you rolled a 3, did you say?
Yeah, so this is the end of my my sweep.
All right. What did Heaven's Gate worshippers see in the 1997 sky that triggered their suicides?
Hail Bob?
Yes.
Ooh.
Wow, I wouldn't have got that. Well done.
Yeah, there's a pop punk song about them, so somehow it's stuck in my mind. Oh, great. I followed that up with a 6.
All right, so game time. Which nation came 27th in the 2003 World Athletics Championship medal table, way below Poland, Qatar, and Lithuania. I guess the implication there is that, like, you know, those countries are terrible, so going way below them
who's
is
worse. You know,
yeah.
Estonia.
No, it was the UK.
Oh no! I should have thought about it as a trick question, like Scott did a while ago.
Yeah,
so.
See.
Yep.
Oh man! All right. So now, so the bar is set at 7. Erica has 7 points.
No problem.
So now we will go through the remaining players in reverse order. So Annette.
Okay, it's my chance.
It is your last chance.
Run the board.
Well, how amazing would it be?
Oh, and I got a 6.
Oh, well.
It's going to be awesome.
So, what game did Posh admit she was devastated to be beaten at by Bex? Do you know who these
people
are?
Yes, I actually do. Okay, I'm like thinking game. I'm going to say Monopoly.
Yeah, I'll kick yourself. It's Trivial Pursuit.
Oh,
really?
It's buzz marketing.
Yeah. Wow.
All right. So, Annette, I'm afraid you have the goose egg for this game.
I accept it proudly. And my 3 ghost points.
The golden goose egg and 3 ghost points, indeed. Ooh. Scott, we'll go to you next. You have 3 points at the moment.
All right. I rolled a 1.
And that is Global View. So, which group of islands off Scotland give ponies the opportunity to yell at Uist from Yell?
The Shetland Islands?
That is correct.
Excellent.
Well done.
4.
4, that is the written word. Which famous model and granddaughter of the author was inspiration for the little girl who meets the BFG?
Well, I know who the BFG is. I do not know who wrote it, nor do I know the answer to this question. So I shall name a model, Grace Jones.
Wow, that would be amazing. It
would.
Grace Jones. No, the author was Roald Dahl, and his granddaughter Sophie is indeed a model.
Oh.
Moises, you are... So, Scott, you finished on 4. Moises, you are also on 4, and you are now the last person who can unseat Erica. So off we go.
So I just roll, and you tell me a question I answer very poorly?
Yes, yes, that's exactly it. Good job,
that's
Moises.
Been my take.
It depends whether you want Erica to win.
I have rolled a 6.
Oh, okay. So...
That's not a good sound there.
Who became rugby's 6th nation?
What?
The 6 Nations is a rugby tournament held possibly every year or maybe every other year. I don't really follow rugby, but yeah, the 6 Nations is a big tournament that they have. International tournament.
So who became the 6th one?
Yes.
I don't... Wales?
Pick a nation.
Do you really think Wales would have been 6th?
Well, no.
I'm pretty sure. I'm guessing Wales were probably first. No. Go on, have another shot. If you don't know it, you almost certainly won't get it unless you have an incredibly lucky guess.
In honor of my visiting sister and niece, Italy.
Is the right
answer. Oh my God.
What? No. I didn't know that Italy even plays rugby.
Neither did I.
Wow.
And oh now God, we all do. And now all right. We all do. What does that mean? I don't know how this game actually works. I just showed up and made bad jokes.
That's crazy. So roll again. You're still okay. 2 points off Erica. So.
Oh, all right. Well, now I'll lose 3.
News. Right. Okay. So which city's subway was subjected to a nerve gas attack in 1995.
95? What city or country?
Which city? Which city's subway?
Tokyo.
Correct.
Yep.
It was the sarin gas attack, yeah. Oh, now it's getting tense. Okay, you now have 6 points, and Erica is sitting there with 7. So,
and I don't earn ghost points for ones that you knew the answer to, so I don't get anything for that one, even for my soul.
I have rolled a 5.
Innovations. What replaced the apple in the 1990s as Britain's favorite fruit?
Just think about the most innovative fruit you can think of.
It's a bizarre to put this in there. What's our category for this question?
I think Britain's favorite fruit of the 1990s. And is this for the tie or the win?
This is for the tie.
Oh, God.
So many fruits.
I'd
so little time.
The banana. I don't know.
The banana. It is. It was the
oh my God! Yes.
Well, bananas are very innovative. Erica, I'm using your own answers against you.
I'm really upset about this.
You know what? I'm kind of upset about it too, because this shouldn't be going this well.
You're still going to get one more. You're not tied.
I've rolled a 2.
And that is sound and screen.
Man.
I see, you know. You would think.
My luck, it'll be something impossible for me. It'll be like an Only Fools and Horses question or something.
You're not far off.
Oh, good.
Stop giving him hints.
Good.
No, I'm not. That's not a hint. Trust me. It was more a note of commiseration.
Yeah. Thanks.
Which comedian and scriptwriter played Archie Shuttleworth in Coronation Street?
Oh.
Ooh, I think this perhaps is the most British question.
It's certainly one of the most British sounding. Is it? We started with like Halifax and Shuttleworth Moore, and now we're finishing with Archie Shuttleworth and Coronation Street.
Good old Corey.
There's no way I would get anywhere near this. So, Sir John Gielgud. I don't have a guess. So
oh,
I'm just
been so amazing.
I would pay so much to see that.
Yeah, it was almost like I was wishing it into existence. I know that it's not right.
No, his name was Roy Hudd.
Oh, what a very British name. His name is Roy.
I guarantee nobody in the US has ever heard of him, but he was very famous.
Was he in Doctor Who?
He may well have been.
Probably was.
It wouldn't surprise me. Oh, man. Wow. So, at the end of that game, Moises and Erica are joint winners with 7 points each.
Wow.
Which is a pretty high score for UK Triv as well. Well done. Brian is third with 5 points. Scott is fourth with 4. And Annette is last with 0, sorry.
Just think of it as a big hug.
I don't know why you're apologizing.
Anthony, because we were done playing, and just out of curiosity, because I've never heard of this Roy Hudd guy, I feel like it sums up a lot of this session of game, that his autobiography is titled A Fart in a Colander.
He was never in Doctor Who, but he was in a Big Finish audio play. So technically he kind of was in Doctor Who. So there you go.
Say, it wouldn't surprise me. So, anyway, my thanks to Erica, Annette, Brian, Scott, and Moises for all taking part today. And thanks to all of you out there for listening to this absurdity. And we'll see you next time.